Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Drive Time on RT Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Well, as you know, many primary schools and secondary schools across the country banned the use of smartphones on their premises during school hours. But in Greystones and Delagony in County Wicklow, parents' associations are taking more control of the issue, signing a voluntary code to hold off on buying smartphones for their children until they're in secondary school. 30% of 8- and 9-year-olds own smartphones, and that rises to well over 3/4 by the time they're 12. That's according to figures from the Irish charity CyberSafe Kids. And there's increasing evidence that children using social media platforms on phones may be at risk of harm. Well, Suzanne Campbell brings us this report about smartphones in schools from the schoolyard. First with Anna Ovington, principal of Delagony National School.
Back in 2019, we had a cyber safety talk and the Parents Association organised this. And you could see at the time there was a genuine concern among the parents about the influence of the internet and particularly unsupervised access to the internet.
A new initiative by 8 primary schools in Greystones and Delagony and Wicklow aims to curtail smartphone use, with parents signing up to a voluntary code to not buy their primary school aged children smartphones.
So it really came from a parental concern, and then it was our parents' association that came up with the model of the No Smartphone Voluntary Code.
How does it work?
Parents have the option of opting in anonymously to this code, where they agree not to purchase their child a smartphone up to and including sixth class.
And how has it worked so far?
It's worked really well. We rolled it out first in 2020, and at that stage we had 70% of the parents in the school signed up to the code. The results are then communicated with the parent body. So, for example, you could say my child's in fourth class, and 80% of the parents in fourth class have opted into the code. So it's supporting parents, it's helping people understand that not everyone in the class has a phone, and taking some of that pressure away from the parents. We have a very active parents association, so they were really on the ball with this. They did a good bit of research and saw about the kind of detrimental effects of internet and particularly unsupervised access to the internet. So when a child has a smartphone, you don't really know what they're looking at on the phone. It's not different to being at a computer screen where you can glance over their shoulder. We've run a couple of cyber safety talks in the school and they've been really well attended. So that's where the smartphone policy arose from.
Now, we know that the 8 schools in Delagony and Greystones, you have quite a good relationship on smartphone policy use, and there's a wider scheme. It takes a village. Tell us about that.
So the 8 principals, we work together. There's 8 schools between Delagony and Greystones, and we regularly meet to discuss issues. You know, what's happening in one school is probably happening in another school down the road. So we have the It Takes a Village initiative that we've recently launched for wellbeing, and particularly looking at pupils' wellbeing. And as part of this, I've shared the No Smartphone Voluntary Code with the other schools in the community. And I know a number of them are bringing it to their parents' associations to discuss it with the parents in their school and see if it's something that would fit in their school.
Alex Cooney from CyberSafe Kids is an expert on the effects of smartphone use and internet in the young. What does she make of parents' associations' codes to not buy their children's smartphones?
It's actually important to frame it that way, not talk about it as a sort of ban or prohibition, more in the sense of a discussion or emanating from a discussion amongst a community of parents, because at the end of the day, that's what we want to see happening. If parents build a community of support around this issue, it really will be beneficial to them and to their kids ultimately, because it is a lot easier to say to your child, no, I'm not ready to give you the smartphone, or I'm not ready to let you on TikTok, or not yet, if you know that other parents in your child's peer group are doing the same thing. I think a lot of parents at the moment are withstanding a lot of pressure from their children. They're hearing from their children, oh, I'm the only one, or there's only about 3 of us that don't have a smartphone, or, you know, I'm the only one that's not on Snapchat, and that's how they're communicating, and I'm being left out. And I think parents, you know, none of us want to feel that our children are being excluded or don't have a means to socialize. And we also have to be realistic. Children are living a lot of their lives out online. But I think the longer that we can hold off, especially when they're in this younger age bracket of primary school, the better, really, for our kids.
If we don't hold off as parents in restricting smartphone use, what is it resulting in?
You know, there have been academics who've been saying this for a long time, that there is a link between children's social media use and negative impacts on mental health. But it's really only now, more recently, that more people are coming behind what they're saying and seeing the dramatic increases in mental health disorders since 2010, which is really when that the smartphones became more widely available, more widely accessible. When I talk about mental health disorders, I mean anxiety, depression, issues around self-esteem, feelings about how you look and so on. There's been a really significant increase. And there's also been, unfortunately, increases in suicide rates amongst young people. So these trends, these new changes, this is very concerning.
Angus O'Connor of CMA Summer Camps runs STEAM, Science, Technology, Engineering, the Arts and Maths, day and residential camps for children in Rockwell College, Tipperary, and at Headford School in Meath. They allow their students, including residential teens, only 1 hour of smartphone use a day.
We take the phones off them as soon as they arrive, and then they get them back for about an hour every day before dinner. Usually it's about 40 minutes, so they can ring home and talk to their parents, their friends, and then that's it. A lot of the kids actually forget that they haven't had their phones, and they kind of just forget all about it. And the parents are ringing the office going, I haven't heard from Mary, I haven't heard from John. And then we forget them and say, here's your phone, ring your parents. So that does happen quite a lot. Like Kim is here in the office during the summer camps, and the amount of parents ringing going, I haven't heard from my kids. And then we have to go and get them to call. So it's a very positive thing.
So they're having a really good time. Obviously, off the phone, do they interact differently? What do you think is running through their head when they switch off maybe to doing what you're giving them to do in a kind of a group context without the phone?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. I think a lot of kids, they're taken from the digital world into the real world, is what really we do. It takes a little while to adjust to the fact that they're in the real world now, and there's no digitization, there's going to be nobody recording anything. Everything that happens is real, and it only stays in the space that it's happening in. And the relief and the stress levels, you can see the stress levels just disappearing. Because the kids arrive on the first day, a lot of them are kind of anxious, I'll be honest. So they're kind of there, where's my phone going to be taken? And they go through that process, but they're even amazed by the time they go to bed that night. We registration Sunday at 7. But the time they go to bed at night, they're completely chilled out in a way that they probably are surprising themselves. Especially they know as well that everybody there doesn't have their phones as well, I guess, does help. But you need to have them busy. We get them busy as soon as they arrive. They're straight into icebreakers. And the whole idea is to kind of turn all the lights on in the head, problem solving, creating things. And like our motto is learning through discovery, creativity and adventure. And that's really what we try to encompass all the time, every single moment of every day.
And what did parents make of this regime?
The vast majority of parents are in favour of this. They're going, oh, thank God, because they've got somebody else to do this job of taking their phones off them. And there are one or two who do worry about their kids not going to cope with it, but they always do. It hasn't maybe happened before to them where the phone was taken away and they can realise, oh, hang on, I can survive without my phone. I don't need the prop of a phone. If I'm standing in a room, they always go to their phone. But if they don't have their phone, they go and talk to someone and they realise, oh, I am actually, I can talk to someone. They can talk to me. It's not this horrific experience of talking to someone without your phone in your hand. So I think the phone in the hand of a kid is like a prop or a crutch. And they don't realise that. And then when it's taken away, they're afraid they'll fall. But then when they don't fall, they realise, oh, I can actually stand without my phone.
So it creates kind of more resilience, are you seeing?
Yes, absolutely. It's almost like they need to prove to themselves that they can exist in the real world. I know it sounds bizarre, but sometimes that's the experience we've had with some of the kids, is that they didn't realise they could, but they can.
Yeah, sounds good, Angus. That's Angus O'Connor from CMA Summer Camps, ending that report from Suzanne Campbell.